The Lord be with you. Very good. Now, that was just a test to see if you remembered. There's been a lot of confusion in the church in our country today because of the changes in liturgical translation. The translations are better, they're closer to the original Latin, and the church thought it was important to do this so that the faith that we profess, which is contained in our liturgy, is common in the church around the world. So it's important that the English be as close to the Latin original as possible, and that's what we've done. So be patient with yourselves and with me, and in a month or so, we'll forget that there was any problem at all. Things will go very, very smoothly. And it's appropriate that this takes place on the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the church year, because the season of Advent is a time when we're supposed to be reflective about the mysteries of God in our lives and in the world around us. And when we have new translations, we have to pay attention. We don't do things automatically. And that's a very good thing, because the faith of the church is not automatic. It's something that's supposed to be personal, very personal in our lives. So try to mean what you say and be attentive to the words that we use in our celebration. You can tell us Advent by the change of vestments. Last week, I think I wore white for the Feast of Christ the King. But ordinarily, in the ordinary time of the year, we use green, which is the time of ordinary celebration. Twice a year, we use purple in the season of Lent and in the season of Advent. But purple means different things in each of those seasons. In the season of Lent, it's a color of remind us to do penance. I don't know why, perhaps because in some ways purple is kind of mournful red. I don't know. But in the season of Advent, the purple doesn't remind us so much of penance as the need to be reflective. Mary is the patroness of Advent, and the scriptures tell us that Mary pondered the mysteries of things that God did for her deeply in her heart. To ponder means what? It's not an ordinary word we use in English. It means to think deeply and reflectively. And the season of Advent is about being reflective about the mysteries of God. So we ask the Lord to help us in this very busy season before Christmas to be women and men who think and are reflective, especially about the good things that God has done for us. Besides purple, the primary symbol of the Advent season is the Advent wreath. But again, we might not know what it means. It's here, but what does it mean? Well, there's several elements to the Advent wreath. First of all, it's a circle, which traditionally has been a symbol of eternity. A circle is without beginning and without end. It just keeps going and going and going. It's green, made with evergreen, at least most of the time, although this one doesn't seem to be. And that's a sign of life. You know, the flowers here and the evergreen branches remind us of life. So this is about eternal life, which is a gift to us from God. But eternity, while we're on earth, is marked by time. And that's why we have four candles, each one standing for one of the weeks of Advent. Time. It's a gift from God. God gives you and he gives me the gift of time. That's our lives. And someone once said that what we do in return is use our time to give things back to God. God gives us a gift of time, and we use our time to give him glory and to serve our brothers and our sisters. So it's very important that we use time well, and we don't waste time. I look at my life. I'm very, very busy, as you might expect. But I think when I stand before the throne of God's judgment, he's going to tell me that I didn't use my time very well. I was caught up in things that were less important and sacrificed the things that were more important. So Advent is a time for us to look at the way we use our time. Do we waste it on, say, video games for those of you who are younger? Do we waste it on worrying about ourselves, preoccupied with ourselves, rather than being occupied with the things of God and the needs of our brothers and our sisters? Do we use our time making money rather than earning grace? And we don't earn God's favor, God gives it to us generously. But the way we show our thanks to God for the gift of time is to use our time generously and well. And the candles of Advent are lit one week after the next, reminding us that at Christmas, God sent light into the darkness of the world. And that light is Jesus Christ. So this isn't just decoration. It's an instrument of reflection. So every Sunday when we come to church and the Advent candle is lit, we remember eternal life, which is our goal. We remember that it's important for us not to waste time. And I bet if you think next Sunday about what happened in this next week, you'll realize you wasted a lot of your time. And we remember that Jesus is the goal of it all. We ask that his light come and burn in our hearts, not only in Advent and Christmas, but throughout the year. So let's use the symbol well in this season of Advent. The saints of Advent are Mary, the mother of Jesus, Saint Joseph, her spouse, Saint John the Baptist, who was the one who proclaimed the coming of Jesus, and the prophet Isaiah. It's from the prophet Isaiah that so many of the readings of Lent are taken. And that's our first reading today. It's a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And in this reading, God inspires Isaiah to put words on the mouth of the Jewish people at a time of desperation in their lives. They've come back to the Holy Land after being slaves in Babylonia, in the Babylonian captivity. The temple was destroyed, the walls of the city had collapsed, and they were desperate without God. And so, inspired by God, Isaiah uttered this prayer on behalf of the Jews. But it also should be our prayer in this Advent season. Listen once again to the first part of this reading. The prophet is praying to God and reminding him of who, he's reminding God of who God is. It's kind of bold to do that. But in doing that, he reminds us of who God is. These are the words of the prayer. You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, you are named forever. God is our Father and our Redeemer. Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways? Haven't you wondered about that? Why does God let us sin? And harden our hearts so that we fear you not. You know, the scriptures tell us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that doesn't mean to be afraid of God, but it means to deeply respect God, who God is and then who we are. But why does God let us wander? And why does God let us harden our hearts so we no longer fear his name? And then in response to that, the prophet prays, Return, O Lord, for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you. Would that you would rend the heavens and come down. What does rend mean? It means to tear open. So the prophet is praying to God that he would tear open the heavens and come down into our desperate lives. And that should be our prayer. You and I live desperate lives. I know some of you have probably seen the TV series Desperate Housewives. I haven't ever watched it. But what I imagine they're doing, because it's called Desperate Housewives, is that they're looking for happiness in places they won't find it. And nothing makes us unhappy than to look for happiness and to be frustrated. It leads to desperation. St. Augustine wrote a long time ago, Lord, you have made us for yourselves, and our hearts will be restless until they rest in you. Now, God is the only one who can give consolation to our desperate needs. There's a hole in our hearts, and the only person that can fill that hole is God. And so the Advent season is a time when we plead for God to come into our desperate situation. If we've lost our job, if we've lost our husband or our wife, if we're sick and we have anxiety about the future, it's in those moments that we are supposed to imitate today's first reading and demand that God tear open the heavens and come down to save and redeem us. Because He is our Father, named as Redeemer for all ages. So pray that the Lord would come into your lives. The season of Advent comes from, the word Advent comes from the Latin word advenio, which means the coming of God, or just means coming, actually. And in Advent, we celebrate three ways that God comes to us. We're preparing for Christmas, which is the moment in history when God became a man in Jesus Christ for our salvation. So we're preparing to remember that event at Christmas. The readings also, at the first part of Advent, direct our minds to the future, when God will come again in His glory at the end of time. I'll talk about that when I look at today's second reading. But it's also important for us to remember the hidden times that God comes to us, which is in our daily life. For those of you who went to confession before Mass, that was a moment when God came to you in the sacrament of reconciliation. If you came to church early, you knelt down and you prayed and opened your heart to God, God came to you in that moment of prayer. I mean, God wants to come to us. It's the nature of God. He forgets Himself, leaves Himself behind, and comes down to us. God is the one who rents open the heavens in order to be available to us. And in the season of Advent, we reflect on all three of His coming. And we ask the Lord to make us attentive and aware of the times He comes to us now. Our second reading is from the New Testament, from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And in the course of the reading, St. Paul refers to the Corinthians in these words. This is what he says to them. You are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you firm to the end, irreproachable on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's our faith that Jesus will come again at the end of time to be our judge and to claim the world for God our Father. It's part of our faith. After I preach the homily, we're going to use the new translation of the Creed, where we say, I believe, which is, I'm convinced of something. And one of the things we say we believe is this. We say, we believe that He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. But one of the things I often ask myself, and I want to ask you as I ask myself this question, is, do you really believe that, Charles? You really believe that the Lord will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead? And if you do, why don't you act that way? Why don't you think of it more often? One of the most favorite prayers of the early church was a prayer that we hear just once or twice a year, which is Maranatha, which is the Hebrew call, Lord, come to us. Maranatha, Lord, come. Do we really long for the coming of God at the end of time? Do we really want Him to come and bring things together, return us to the Father? It was the longing of the early church, and it should be the longing in the hearts of Christians. So as we reflect on Jesus' first coming, it should lead us to long for His next coming at the end of history and the end of time. So we should make it our practice during the Advent season, perhaps every day, to pray that prayer of the early church, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, and make this world your own. Finally, we come to today's gospel, which is a very short gospel. Jesus is telling us what our responsibilities are in this reading. He said to His disciples, He's speaking to us, be watchful, means pay attention. Be alert. That's the opposite of being distracted or lazy. So part of our responsibility as Christians to be disciples is to be watchful and to be alert. You do not know when the time will come. The time at the end of the world, the time at the end of our life, or just the way that Jesus wants to come to us today. And then he goes on to use an image. It is like a man traveling abroad, and this man is the image of God. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. So the Lord has made us his servants and has given us responsibilities, each in our own particular kind of way. I'm, as a Archbishop of Philadelphia, I'm responsible for the Archdiocese. As the father of your children, you're responsible for your children. As their mother, you're responsible for your husband and for your children too. We're responsible for people at work. We're responsible for our friends. Each of us has our own responsibility. And God has entrusted those responsibilities to us. That's what our life in this world is about. It's about being responsible for the things that God has given to our care. We have to be gatekeepers, which means we have to keep out of our lives and the lives of others those things that are dangerous. We can't grow lazy and irresponsible. If we do, there's dangers that lurk all around us and bring damage to our own life and to the lives of others. And Jesus says to us, "Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." Do we watch? Or have we become lazy and casual in our discipleship? That's the challenge of today's scripture readings. Are we good gatekeepers, keeping out of our lives and the lives of those we're responsible for the things that are dangerous? Let me use some examples. Your sisters, we have a couple of sisters here in the front row and a couple of sisters back here a bit further. You are responsible for the charism of your communities. You're called to be watchful and alert so that you and the members of your community can be faithful to the plan of life that God has given you. But what happens after temporary vows and you make perpetual profession and you're around for a while? Sometimes you get sluggish and you're less attentive. And what happens generally in religious life in the church? It goes from being intense to being casual. It goes from being enthusiastic to being a kind of bourgeois or whatever. And you aren't the intense sign of the presence of God in the church that religious are called to be. And in the season of Advent, the church slaps you on the face in these readings and says, "Keep watch, be attentive. Pay attention to the responsibilities that God has given you." But not to pick on the sisters, those of you who are married and have children, are you watchful? Are you good gatekeepers when it comes to the dangers to the lives, the spiritual lives of your children? It's so hard to be a parent today because your children will say to you, "Why can't I do this? Everybody else in the neighborhood is doing it. Why is it that we can't watch TV like our neighbors? Or why we can't have games or go to these movies like everybody else does?" And the danger is that after a period of time, you'll get worn down and give in. And what happens is the spiritual lives of your children are undermined. And at this moment in the church here, the scriptures slap you on the face, and the Lord says to you, "Be attentive. Watch." Those of you who love one another, that are in romantic relationships, I'm sure there's some here who are dating and have brought their spouse-to-be to church this evening. It's so easy to slip into attitudes of unchastity if you're not careful. Because in some ways, that's the most difficult thing in our young lives, to be pure and chaste in the presence of God and with one another. And if you aren't attentive, if you aren't careful, if you don't set up the guards that are necessary for you to be good watchmen at the door of the virtue of the life of your future spouse, your relationship with one another can lead you into sin. And in this moment of the church here, the church, what does it do? Slaps you on the face and says, be watchful, pay attention. And as bishop, I have the same responsibilities, you know. I have a lot of responsibilities. I'm new to the archdiocese, and we have really big problems. I often find myself daily looking up to heaven to say, Lord, tear open that heaven and come down and save us, because we have all kinds of problems. But sometimes bishops, like pastors, like deacons, or whatever, we can say, well, it's just too much trouble. We'll just go along to get along, and we'll let things slide. And into my life and the life of those with clerical responsibilities, the Lord comes today in the Scriptures and says, wake up, pay attention, be on guard, watch, be gatekeepers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we have a great message in today's Scripture readings, don't we? We learn from the first reading, we can cry out to God, and He'll tear open those heavens and come down and save us. In the second reading, we learn the prayer of the early church that should be our prayer every day. Lord, come into the world, do what we can't do, save us, come in your glory, and bring the world back to God. And in today's gospel, we learn from the Lord the importance of daily attentiveness to the gospel of Jesus Christ in our particular responsibilities. So, next week it'll be candle number 2, and after that it'll be candle number 3, and then it's 4, and then it's Christmas. And I think most of us will look back and say, where did it go, and why didn't I do something? And that will be tragic, because these 4 weeks are weeks of grace. God wants to be with us, and He wants to give us the strength to make this Advent season a different Advent than the one before, full of grace and mercy. We ask, Lord, to overcome our weakness, to overcome our sleepiness and our slumber, so that we might be attentive and alert to the ways He comes to us.